Let me just start by saying this. I want to thank y'all for praying for me. I'm one of the names on that green piece of paper that you received this evening. And also, there's some ladies that show up around here on Monday mornings because I've seen them, and they pray. There's some men that show up on Thursday mornings, and they pray. And I know a lot of y'all pray at home, and this is a praying church, and that's a good thing. Continue to pray for your pastor, and pray that God's will be done, and be amazed at what God's doing. Amen? A little over a year, well, almost a year ago, on a Thursday morning, I was over here pushing a vacuum cleaner around, and I told Brother David a couple months ago, I must have looked like a turtle. Because the length of time it took me to do that vacuuming that I was doing compared to the amount of time I'm doing it now, and I hope I'm doing a better job. I'm learning to vacuum. But it's amazing what God has done over the course of a year. We're still taking a lot of medicine. I still have heart disease. But God's really been teaching me a lot of things, and God has blessed us, and we're moving in the right direction, I believe. No matter where you're at, God's going to use you. Amen? And you need to be aware of that. And what I want to talk about tonight is not getting distracted from the things that God wants us to do. There's a lot going on out there. I mean, even the weather can distract us sometimes from what God's wanting us to do. Sometimes our family situation, sometimes what's going on with the economy and the world and all that. But we're in a time where we don't need to get distracted by anything, especially what the devil's throwing out there at us, and we need to stay on the course that the Lord has us on. I desire to be faithful at whatever platform God's got me on. And we all need to do that. We need to be faithful right where God's got us. And just be reminded that every good gift comes from the Father above. Amen? Anything good in your life is coming from Him, and you need to thank Him for it. So I thank you all for your prayers, and I thank you all for letting me be here, and on and on and on. Thank my wife, and you know, throw that in there, and that's always a good thing, right? Okay. All right, I want to look in the book of Acts in chapter 23. And, you know, Brother David has an advantage. He expositorily preaches. He goes through a book at a time, so wherever he leaves off, he can pick up and carry on and get it all covered. So I don't have that opportunity. So I have probably about five or six chapters I want to look at tonight. And told Linda earlier today it was raining outside, so nobody had anything else to do. But probably we need to thank the guys that cooked again, because probably half of y'all wouldn't be here if you weren't having chicken, right? To be honest, right? Amen. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 23. I'm going to read verses 6 through 14 and then really expound from there. So why don't we stand? I know it's Wednesday night, but let's stand in honor of God's Word. Acts chapter 23. I'm going to grab my glasses real quick. I get blurred words and they come out wrong. God's Word says, "But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged.' And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, 'We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God.' Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander of the Roman army, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring them into the barracks. But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, you must also bear witness at Rome.' And when it was day, some of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under an oath, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now there were among them 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. You now, therefore, together with the council, suggest to the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow, as though you were going to make further inquiries concerning him. But we are ready to kill him before he comes near.' So when Paul's sister's son heard of their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you've already demonstrated your love to us through Jesus Christ. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, I thank you for the study time and the times that you speak to me in our own personal worship. God, I pray that tonight we would just listen. And God, I thank you that no matter where we're at or what's going on, you speak to us individually and collectively. God, again, we lift up this church to you, and we thank you that it's a place where the truth is spoken and people can come and hear the gospel and be saved and their lives changed. So, Lord, help us tonight to understand the things you'd have us to understand. And, Lord, let us give you all the glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all, please have a seat. You know, if you did an overview of the book of Acts, there's a lot going on there. It starts off with the ascension of Jesus, and I like it. The two angels are standing there, and they say to the guys, what are y'all standing around staring for? The same Jesus shall return in like manner. We're looking forward to seeing the Lord Jesus come back. As time goes on, it looks like we're getting closer and closer, and just by circumstance, we can say we're closer than we were yesterday. Amen? But the ascension of Christ, the empowering of the disciples, and all that's going on there, the early church emerging, the mission trips of Paul and the spread of the gospel, but it's the acts of the Holy Spirit of God through believers that amazes me through the book of Acts. And when we see that, there's a lot of things that God continues to do with His people. And one of them, there's so many no-brainers. He wants us to share the truth with other people. But throughout time and history, there's been this battle that's been going on, and evil wants to suppress and turn off those that speak the truth and keep things going. Throughout history of man, evil times have tried in vain to put out the light and to stop those who speak the truth. And at this point in Paul's life, he's completed the three missionary journeys. He started churches. He spoke the truth. He's discipled a number of people. And if you look at that evangelically, you'd say that there's been a great success in what's going on there. He returns to Jerusalem, led by God and the Spirit of God. And even though other believers tell him, you know, don't go there, you'll be in trouble, things are not going to be good for you, he continues to do what he believes God leads him to do. And Paul had said earlier in one of his letters to the churches that he had become all things to all men. He knew how to speak to Gentiles. He knew how to live with them and make sure that they heard the truth. But also he knew how to deal with the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. And just when you look at his life and how God orchestrated everything, we'll get into that a little later. It's just amazing how God uses this individual to pen so many books of the New Testament and just speak through him to us these truths that he wants us to understand. If you go back to chapter 21, Paul being all things to all men, what you'll find out is he went through the 7-day purification that you would after spending time with Gentiles and you go back to go into the temple. So he went through the Jewish rituals that he was supposed to. And even at that, there was this contention against him. And they were these people that, you know, Brother David's been talking about in the book of Mark, the Pharisees, and that's who Jesus really had a problem with, was because they were supposed to be the religious leaders, the elite, the ones that were leading the people in the right direction. And they'd gotten so far off track. And they were attacking Paul. Maybe they were jealous of what God was doing in his life, or for whatever reason, you know, they were hung up on legalism and really giving him a hard time. But he goes through that. And then when you get into chapter 22, he gets to the point where he's allowed to give his testimony and just explain everything that's going on. And then we move into chapter 23. He's rescued from this persecution because of his Roman citizenship. And, you know, all these things that God orchestrated in his life, where he was born, who he was born to, and all that, God's using these things to put Paul right where he wants him. A few things that I want us to look at tonight. The first one is God infers with Paul. He informs Paul. You like that, don't you? How many of you are wearing glasses? Okay. of His plan for him. Look back with me in verse 11, chapter 23. Paul's been arrested. He's taken back to the barracks by the Roman commander. And it says, "But the following night the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul. For you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" Paul was told by God what he wanted him to do. Now, he didn't give him the details. He didn't tell him exactly when it was going to happen, but he told him what he would have him to do. We're on a platform no matter where you're at, with your family, with people you work for, and we are to be God's witnesses. We are to testify of what the Lord Jesus is doing in our lives, and we're living in a time we can't be silent. I work at the funeral home some. One of the things I say is I get to walk in and walk out. And that's a good thing. Of course, when I stay there, it's going to be a good thing too, because I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. So it's a win-win situation. Hopefully my wife will be a little upset. Women have a tendency to live longer than men, so we get to go there first. Amen? But the Lord is telling Paul what he wants him to do. Sometimes at the funeral home, a door opens and I can say some things. I can speak to some people. Sometimes it's amazing how far out people are away from the truth, and it's hard to reach them. They don't have a clue to what you're talking about. And then sometimes there's just a silent witness of prayer going on, and it's amazing. There was a lady the other night, and a couple of people came up to me and they warned me about this individual lady. They said, "She's not right, and you know, there's just no telling what's going to happen," and they leave. You know, so it's like, if you need us, holler, but, you know, you got your hands full tonight. There was no problem. The moment I was told that, the moment I saw the lady, I just started praying. I said, "Lord, you know, if a door opens for me to speak truth to this woman, let me be ready. You know, let me speak your words. If there's anything else." So, you know, that evening I was just nice to her. I said what I could, little statements and comments, and we had a fine evening, you know, and when the family left, they thanked me for being there. But it's just living the way God wants us to live day by day. When we look at the life of Paul, we see great things happening. What God would have us to do in our everyday lives is no less important than the things that the Lord would have Paul to do as he went through life. But what's amazing to me is how God speaks to Paul and tells him where he's going to have him go and what he's going to have him do. He doesn't give him all the details right away, and that's how it is with the Lord. There are some general things that the Lord wants us to do, and I'll get into that a little bit later. The other thing is how God orchestrates details. Are y'all ever amazed at how God orchestrates details sometimes when things happen? When you look at the life of Paul, you see a birth. He has Roman citizenship. He was a Pharisee. The mission trips to the Gentiles and the different things that God did. But also, I want us to be reminded tonight that we have enemies of the cross that are still out there. And they will be there until the Lord Jesus comes back, until He throws Satan in the pit of fire, and there's going to be some battles. And we are at war, and we don't even need to take that light. We don't need to forget that double negative. We need not forget. Okay. Thank you very much. Any English teachers in here tonight? Ah, just one. Okay. Almost made it. God informs us of some things. And let me just remind us of some. There's one thing called the Great Commission. Y'all ever heard of that? The Great Commission. He told us to go and make disciples. That is to all believers. And we should continue to do that. Basic discipleship, just being real in everyday life, is something that I believe is very important nowadays. And then there's these general instructions that are found in God's Word. We are people of the Word, right? So we read the Word of God. We obey the Word of God. We study the Word of God. That's part of what Sunday school is all about. That's part of what our worship services are always about. We are big on the Word of God. And we need to be. You need to continue to read. And what's amazing to me, I had an Old Testament professor, same one that Brother David had, that institution we went to. But he told us that the Bible was a bottomless treasure pit. And the more you dug, the more you would find. And it's so true. As I've gone through books several times, studied books, And every time you get into the Word of God, God will speak to you. He'll teach you something new. He'll give you something to hold on to, and we need to continue that. So not only read it, but live the Word of God. Okay? And if I can encourage us to do anything tonight, that's one of the things I'd like to encourage us to do. And now more than ever, we need believers that will not only live the life that Christ has for us, but start speaking and let people know what we believe in. We went to a concert last night at high school, and the song that they sang, the last song they sang, was the Battle Hymn of the Republic. And I said, thank God. You know, there's some people out there that are not fearful of what somebody else might say or whatever, and they have a platform where they can honor God through music. Whether that was their intention or not, God was honored through that song. And I was glad that that was the closing number. They did an excellent job. But as Paul went, he was directed. Now listen to this. And as he was directed, he went. You got that? As he went, he was directed. And as he was directed, he went. He obeyed what God would have him to do. You go over to the book of Romans, and Paul says in chapter 7 that the things he knows he ought not to do, he does. And the things he knows he should be doing, he's not doing. You know, so he still lived in the flesh, and he was still a man, and he still had battles. And we all have battles that we deal with. And again, watch out for the distractions. Stay away from the distractions. His mission trip. What mission trips does God want us to go on? We've got a group over in Southeast Asia right now, but where would God have us to go? What would have us to be about? Our workplace, where we are, how can we minister in the name of Jesus and speak for Him and just represent Him? Where we go, who we see, who we talk to. Y'all ever look for people to pray for or witness to when you go out to the store or the gas station or something? Me and a friend of mine were in a mall one time, and he was looking around, and he said, who are we going to witness to or who are we going to talk to? And I said, let's just look for somebody that's hurting. Some of that really needs a dose of Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We need to ask God to give us His eyes so that we can see what's going on out there and we can minister to people. So God informs us. If you spend time in prayer and ask God to guide you, He will guide you. Amen? Don't we know that already? But sometimes we have to be reminded to do those things because we'll get so caught up with going through life that we miss the everyday things that God has for us. But God orchestrates the details. Just in this, as God already spoke to Paul, and then you see where this group of terrorists, we're going to call them, that's what John Phillips called them, is going to try and eliminate Paul. They're going to try and wipe him out. And even before that, Paul's already been in prison a few times. He's already been beaten. He's already been stoned. Some horrible things have happened to him, and he continues to go. And I think about that sometimes. You know, what's it take us to quit? Sometimes we got a headache. I went to a crusade one time with a young man. He was part Indian. We were at Bible college, and he decided to go jogging with us. So it was in the afternoon. We took out jogging. Well, he goes on the hot asphalt barefooted. That is a real brainer, isn't it? Well, he ended up blistering his feet. We didn't know that at the time. But that evening, we went to a crusade, and we wanted to get where we could hear the speaker and be a part of what was going on and help with the invitation afterwards. And we went through all that. We got back late that night, and he asked me to help him peel his socks off his feet. And I did. But he had blistered his feet, but he didn't stay home and say, I got a headache, I can't go tonight. You know, he was there, and he continued to do what the Lord wanted him to do. There's a lot of people out there that will do what God wants them to do no matter what. Sometimes we don't see the pain, we don't see them hurting, we don't see what's trying to distract him or hold him back. And that's why it's so important for us to be praying for one another, to have the energy and the courage and do all that God wants us to do. God orchestrates these details. There's this conspiracy of murderers that wants to get Paul. But let me just read on from verse 16 and let y'all know what happens here. Look at verse 17 with me. Verse 16 mentions that Paul's nephew heard about the ambush. And he went and entered the barracks, and he told Paul. It says, then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the commander and said, Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you. Then the commander took him by the hand, went aside and asked privately, what is it that you have to tell me? Now here's a commander of the garrison in Jerusalem. And Paul mentions to one of the centurions that this young man needs to talk to the commander. And they just take him. How often does that happen in the realm of an echelon or military elite? And he takes him by the hand and he listens to him. And he asks him, look in verse 20. He said, the Jews have agreed to ask that you bring Paul down to the council tomorrow as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to them, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who have bound themselves by an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him, and now they are ready waiting for the promise from you. So the commander let the young men depart and commanded him, tell no one that you have revealed these things to me. Now listen to what he does. Look at verse 23. And he called for two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night and provide mounts to set Paul on and bring him safely to Felix the governor. And then he wrote Felix the governor a letter explaining everything to him. I want us to think about that for a minute. Paul is in the midst of an uprising at the temple, and he's rescued from that uprising. He's in the midst of, he says something to the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and he gets them all wound up. And the commander pulls him out of that situation, fearing that he's going to be ripped apart. And he puts him in the barracks. And then there's a group that vows that they're not going to eat or drink until they kill Paul. And Paul's nephew just happens to get word of it, and he tells Paul, and this happens. So do you see how God's orchestrating these situations? And how he's in charge, he's making sure that Paul gets where he wants him to be. The commander, two centurions, that's 200 men, 70 horses, 200 spearmen, that's a big crowd, just to protect this guy and send him to the governor with this letter. Excuse me. If I cough on that mic, it gets even louder, doesn't it? I'll try the other side next time. But God's protection is overwhelming. And I know we've heard reports of that. He's rescued from the temple in chapter 21, from the turmoil, from the trial in chapter 23, and now these terrorists in verse 12. After all this happens, on his way to Rome, he's shipwrecked, he's snake bit, and all these other things happen to Paul. But when you get to the end of the book of Acts, turn over to chapter 28 with me. And look at verse 28. Again, Paul's addressing those. He's in Rome now. And he says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. They're still arguing about what's going on. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. For 2 years in Rome before he went to Nero, and Nero had him executed, and we believe by tradition that he was beheaded. Nero was probably the worst that humanity had to offer, with all the horrible things he did, and just people don't even name their dog Nero, right? Y'all know anybody that's got a dog named Nero? They don't do that, especially not your children, right? But he was a horrible person. He was the worst that humanity had to offer. And then the representation of light and life came before him. And no doubt he even heard the truth by God's grace from Paul. But he was still executed. And that was the end of Paul's life here. But we continue to read on. There's an organization called the Voice of the Martyrs. Let me just read this to you. I ran across this today. We don't need to get distracted, right? Listen to this. Mark is 6 years old, and that's not his real name because of protection. He started school for the first time this year. He and his family are Christians. They live in Iraq. Most of their neighbors are Muslims. In recent years, thousands of Christians have left Iraq to live in safer places. Radical Muslims in Iraq sometimes attack Christians and make it hard for followers of Jesus to stay in the country. All the Christians want to leave. I want to leave now, one Christian said. But Mark and his family are staying. During Mark's first week of school, his teacher told the class the rules of the classroom, showed the students how to recite a Muslim prayer. Mark said to his teacher, "No, we should pray in Jesus' name." Mark told the other students Bible studies during recess. Other Muslim students began to hit and kick Mark when they got the opportunity. A teacher at the school also singled out Mark to cause him trouble. After Mark said Jesus' name in school, neighborhood children began to steal his toys. They threw rocks at his house. Mark and his sister stopped playing outside. They have only each other to play with. But they are not alone. God and their family comfort them. The members of their church love them. Mark provides a ministry of prayer and blessing. He is known for laying hands on the sick and praying for their healing. Mark's parents are pleased with his faith and boldness, but they are frequently praying for his safety, knowing that he could be hurt. Will you join them in praying for him and other Iraqi Christians? And I wanted to read that to us because we're talking about a six-year-old child that has faith in a Muslim country. And because of his faith, you know, he probably don't understand the boldness part of it. He's just saying what he believes and just doing what he thinks is right. It might cause him some pain down the road. It might cost him his life down the road. But as a six-year-old, there's some other children in that class in that Muslim country, and they're hearing about the Lord Jesus. What's our problem? What's our excuse? Have y'all ever withheld your testimony or the gospel because you didn't want to offend somebody? Or you might upset them? Or you're afraid they might not want to hear it? We need to start being bolder and bolder with our witness and what we're doing for the Lord. What's the worst they could do? Beat you up? Y'all, anybody in here ever been beat up for telling somebody about Jesus? It hadn't happened around here lately. There's not a lot that we have to be afraid of. But what the devil does, he throws all these distractions in our mind. The spirit of fear is not of the Lord, but love and power and a sound mind. And those are the things that we need to remind ourselves. All through history, God's enemies of the cross have been around, and they've been fighting against righteousness. They've been trying to silence us and shut us up, and we need to continue moving in the right direction. This nation was founded out of persecution, right? Wasn't it? I mean, I don't think a bunch of guys trying to sell corn or look for turkeys or something sailed over here and settled some land. I don't think that's what it's all about. They escaped religious persecution. They thanked God. You read the Mayflower Compact, it's got God in there. You read our Constitution, there's God's mentioned in there. You know, this whole thing about the separation of church and state, just ignore it. It doesn't exist. We need to live the life that God wants us to live and not be ashamed or afraid of what God's going to do for us. But don't get distracted from God's plan. We need to listen to Him. We need to pray and ask for direction. We need to pray for one another. We need to plan. You know, we can't just pray and meander through life. You need to have a plan. You know, what's God want you to do with your family? What's He want you to do in your neighborhood? What's He want you to do at work? What's He want you to do at this church? We need to obey Him without fear. You know, and I'm hoping that maybe the rest of this week we'll come back Sunday and somebody might have a testimony. How, you know what? God challenged me to do something. And I went ahead and did it. Because I remembered that six-year-old boy in Iraq that's standing almost alone with his family representing the Lord Jesus. And then we need to be amazed at what God's doing. Are y'all amazed at what God's doing? I'm just trying to figure out who prayed for the rain this time. Right? I told Wayne this morning, I said, "Brother Dave probably prayed for rain before he left. We'll have to call him and let him know what happened." But be amazed. You know, take this prayer sheet home. And I thank y'all again that I'm a name on there that's being prayed for. I've been tempted a couple of times to take my name off, but I'm going to leave it on there. I'm going to be selfish, you know. But pray for one another. Pray that that we don't just meander through life, but we see the opportunities that God puts before us. If you're at the store tomorrow, you know, you see somebody on the... If the Spirit of God lays it on your heart to help somebody, help them. The Spirit of God says, you know, say something, say something. There was, I know, you know, we had one of the elementary schools here in town go through a thing about one of the songs they wanted to have the children sing, and it was a big uproar. And I was reading some of the blogs. You know, I had another word for them, but I better not say it from the pulpit. But some of the blogs that some non-believers posted, just vicious stuff, just because somebody wanted some children to sing a Christian song. And really, when you listen to the song, it's not that bad. It's we still trust in God, you know. But there's this battle going on out there. I know we live in America and people have their rights, right? But we need to get beyond that. We need to ask God to give us avenues and open doors where we can share the truth with people, because without the truth, they're going to be separated from the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. You know, I heard one man said one time that if God just dangled people over hell for a split second, they'd all get saved. But God doesn't work like that. He uses us to tell the truth. So what I wanted to do tonight was sort of just show you some of these situations in Paul's life, and you'd be amazed at what God does. But look at your own life and say, Lord, where do you want me to be involved? Where do you want me to operate? Am I missing anything? Just a few weeks ago, I was sort of challenged just in my personal prayer time with some people that I had shared the gospel with over the years, some youth, some children that I had, you know, witnessed to, spent time in Bible studies, and I feel responsible for them. You know, it's like when Paul was checking back on John Mark, you know, there was a time where he didn't want to have anything to do with him. He thought he was a little whiny baby, and he went off and left him. But then later on, he said, send Mark. He'd be beneficial to me. You know, you might have told somebody about Jesus years ago or recently. Check on them. Pray about them. Keep praying for those that God's laid on your heart. Ask God who you're responsible for and check up on them. But we need to be real. Amen? And there's a lot for us to do out there. And just be amazed at what God's doing. I'm amazed. This is a place sanctioned by God to teach people the truth, to raise people up and send them out. You know, we can't come here and hide like we're in a fort. We live out there. And that's where I think we're going to do the greater work. Here we worship and we prepare, but as we go out there, keep your eyes open, keep your heart clean, and do what God wants us to do. Amen? Don't you all want to charge hell now? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so much for loving us. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the cross. Lord Jesus, I thank you that when you were on that cross, you had me on your mind. And Lord, you knew what I was and what I'd be, and you knew what I wanted, what you wanted me to be, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for this church family that prays. And Lord, I pray that we would be challenged to continue to pray and lift up the cross. God, we'd be the light in this community, and Lord, I know that many of these people travel all over the place, whether it's vacation or work or whatever. But God, as you send us out, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to remember how you orchestrate all the details. Help us to keep our eyes open and our hearts clean. And Lord, help us to be pleasing with what we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.